The WNBA is officially back. We saw three first-round picks make their WNBA debuts on Friday, so let's talk about it. Lotto Women's Basketball starts now.
Ogunba Wale for the win!
You are Locked On Women's Basketball, your daily podcast on women's basketball.
Welcome. You are Locked On Women's Basketball. My name is Tanner Cruz. I'm Saturday host covering the WNBA draft and women's basketball at large. Thanks for making Locked On Women's Basketball your first listen every day. And remember, Locked On Women's Basketball is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. I'm joined by my co-host, Lincoln Schaefer. Lincoln also covers the WNBA draft and has a great eye for contextualizing prospects within their collegiate systems and also breaking down the biomechanical sides of basketball. You can follow him on Twitter at Dovienya underscore. All right, so at the top here, Aaliyah Boston made her WNBA debut against the Connecticut Sun on Friday. She is the first player since Diamond Shields in 2018 to score 15 points, grab 8 rebounds in their WNBA debut. She also did this in foul trouble, so her minutes were limited at times. So just to start here, Lincoln, what was like your main takeaway from her debut on Friday?
Yeah, the number one thing for me is that she's really good. She was playing against Bree Jones and Alyssa Thomas, which is one of the strongest physically front courts in the WNBA. And it took her a little bit to adjust a couple minutes. She had a few struggles with Bree Jones on both ends in the first quarter. But by the fourth quarter, she was really cruising on both ends. She's got incredible footwork. She's a really strong defender, and she's already a really savvy scorer inside especially. She uses little bumps and jabs and pivots really well for one of the youngest players in the WNBA at this point.
And in that first quarter, she was pretty much Indiana's best player, low bar, because they didn't score for like the first 6 minutes of the game. Aaliyah Boston hit a free throw early. And then she also was like a early possession. It was like she was in the post against Bree Jones. Weird turnaround jumper, but her comfortability against someone like Bree Jones, who I believe we've comped to her before in terms of just having similar skill sets, but for someone like Aaliyah Boston to already come in and be this fundamentally sound, like, I think with someone like Aaliyah Boston for Indiana, she has the versatility to use her in, like, use her as, like, in dribble handoff actions to also, we didn't see a lot of it, though, is, like, just her passing ability. I think that's something Indiana can utilize more. But just in this game alone, they struggled to find her early. It was rough for Erica Wheeler for most of the game. But how are you optimistic on Indiana's ability to maximize Aaliyah Boston in this year one without having this elite point guard? Because that's kind of where they're missing right now. And Grace Berger didn't play as well.
Yeah, the thing with Indiana is they don't have like a point guard, but they do have several really impressive perimeter shot makers. Especially Kelsey Mitchell in there. She's one of the best scorers in the league. And if they are able to find ways to put the ball in her hands more, especially running DHOs or pick and rolls with Aaliyah, that's finding ways to get two on the ball and putting Aaliyah in 4-on-3 situations, which is a place where she really excels with her her footwork, her touch, and her passing ability. That's something that she didn't really get to do a lot of at South Carolina, but that's something that I'm really excited to see for her going forward, is working in those 4-on-3 situations, which are most likely to come with Kelsey Mitchell handling the ball.
And then on the defensive end, I thought we saw moments. There was like some ticky-tack fouls here and there, but in general, her verticality, which is one thing we noted multiple times on this podcast throughout the draft cycle, is she isn't the greatest vertical athlete, but her discipline, her ability to remain vertical on jump shooters, the ability to use her body well, her strength, her low center of gravity as well, just being able to plant her feet, and contest shots. I thought she did well in that area. Like in the game, Bree Jones shot 4 for 9 from the field. She was effective at times, but 4 for 9, you'll take that from someone like Bree Jones, who was the most improved player last year. So what did you see like on the defensive end?
Yeah, defensively, she was mostly in those one-on-one situations with Bree Jones. And got called for a couple of those fouls, which not all of them were fouls. Jones took 6 free throws. Alyssa Thomas took 7 free throws. But really, I thought that Aaliyah was just solid on defense, which I never saw any way for her to be less than just a solid presence defensively. She's so smart, and her footwork is so good that she had such a high floor as a defender in the WNBA.
I feel like in this game, we didn't see a lot of moments where she had to defend in space, per se. Because if you have Alyssa Thomas on the ball, she's not someone you're going to want to hedge or really play out on the perimeter, just giving her more space on the back line. So we saw her more occupying the paint, playing in help. So how do you feel like her game's going to – how are games going to translate whenever you're going to play a team, maybe someone like Seattle or someone like Washington, who has more versatility in the front court?
Yeah, I'm not terribly concerned about her ability to defend in space. She moves pretty well. She's not someone who's going to be, like, jumpy at every pump fake and, like, closing out recklessly. She's really plays under control and, like, is very aware of the things happening around her on the court. So I'm not really super concerned. She might struggle a little bit getting taken off the dribble off switches, but that's really something that is never going to be a strength for a 21-year-old big coming into the WNBA.
And it's not even really about her being bad in space. It's about her not being at the rim opens up so much more for opposing offenses. Like we're seeing it with Anthony Davis on the men's side, where he's not awful in space, but bringing him away, like one of the best rim protectors in the NBA, away from the rim, your probability of scoring increases so much more. So with teams that can space out and having like someone like Nelissa Smith, who struggled defensively in this game as well. So I think putting Indiana in space, making them make rotations is ideal. But in this game, I thought Indiana was solid on defense. Their offense was rough at times outside of Kelsey Mitchell. We saw some flashes from Mai Caldwell in this game as well. I also thought it was a solid game from Christy Wallace at times. I thought she had a nice pull-up jumper in there. But after the break, we'll shift our focus over to the number 2 pick in this draft in Diamond Miller, her WNBA debut, and we'll also talk about Dorka Juhas as well for the Minnesota Lynx. And we're back. So on Friday, in the second of our games, we saw the Minnesota Lynx face off against the Chicago Sky once again. And in this game, final score was, let me see if I can get it right here. Do you have the score pulled up?
Yeah, Chicago 77, Minnesota 66.
77-66, the Sky winning this one. We saw it was a pretty typical rookie game from Diamond Miller. She shot 3 for 9, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 for 4 from the line. I thought in this game there was flashes of being an effective mid-range scorer, being able to play in transition, but also you saw the rookie moments, those outstretched finishes, struggling to finish their contact. What was your main takeaway from Diamond Miller's first game?
Yeah, like we talked about a lot before the draft, Diamond Miller was really impressive in transition. At least one of her 2 assists was a really nice one-handed hit-ahead pass to Jess Shepherd in the first quarter. And I thought Diamond looked pretty solid in the first quarter. She struggled a little bit with Chicago's length inside, especially with Elizabeth Williams coming over in help positions, who played a really solid defensive game. And also had some problems with another player making their WNBA debut in Morgan Burch. But Diamond had flashes. I thought her defense was a little bit better than I anticipated it being in this game. She had the matchup on Kalia Copper, which is not an enviable one for any rookie. But I thought Diamond performed pretty well in that spot defending Kalia Copper, who's one of the most dynamic offensive players in the WNBA.
And Diamond Miller is the type of player where you're going to expect a lot of ups and downs as a rookie. Contrary to someone like Aaliyah Boston, who we expect to see more good than bad, but with someone like Diamond Miller, more perimeter-oriented, someone that has more of like a raw skill set, inefficient at times from three, inefficient at times in the mid-range. I thought at moments it was solid, but my main concern, I mentioned to you as well, is the handle for me. Like, I think there's moments, like in transition, she has like the nice Euro step. She can maneuver her body well, but in general, her handle is super stiff to me. I feel like she doesn't maximize angles well enough. I don't remember there was one moment in the half court. It was like she was initiating from the wing, and then she took a weird angle to the rim, and then got denied at the rim on a pretty contested layup. So I think for Diamond Miller, improving that handle, which is not the easiest thing to say, but trying to maximize her handle will probably do her a lot of good for her development, given the jump shots inconsistencies, and also given just some of her rawness in her game.
Yeah, I think at Maryland she was really reliant on her length to finish around rim protectors, and she liked to go to like an underhand scoop shot where she's got her arm fully outstretched in front of her, and that's just something that's not going to be as effective against WNBA bigs and that are longer, stronger, faster, and more capable of blocking those shots. And that's something that we've seen a lot in preseason, and that's something that we saw again last night against Chicago. She really struggled getting the ball around like Elizabeth Williams, especially, and finishing at the rim.
And then also from Minnesota, Dorca Juhas, in her debut, she had 5 points, 3 rebounds, a block, and 15 minutes on 2 of 3 shooting. In general, I thought she was just sort of out there. She didn't make a ton of bad mistakes, but I don't also think she stood out. My main concern with her so far is just I don't think she looks super comfortable with the ball. I don't think you can run like her as a DHO ball handler, being able to use her as the primary setup person in those actions as well. She picks up her dribble early. I don't think she makes the offense flow particularly well. Like, I remember there was one moment where she was handling the ball, and then I remember she picked up her dribble early, through a contested pass. It ended up going like deep in the backcourt and like a shot clock violation. So I think for her, I think another thing for her is just being comfortable in the shot as well, because the main intrigue with her game is someone at her size that can space the floor. Even though it was inefficient at times, we've seen the flashes whenever she was at Ohio State of being a pretty good shooter. So I think for her, she'll need to be a volume shooter to really look to gain value in her skill set. But right now, I'm more looking at like a replacement level backup 4-5 combo that you can trust in limited spurts.
Yeah, her offense was not great in this game. At least one of those scores. One of the scores came off of an offensive rebound. That was an and one. And so she's had flashes where she looks solid. She played really well in their first preseason game, well enough to put up a double-double against the Mystics. But this game was a bit more of a struggle. She shot 2 for 3 from the field, but for her to only be getting up 3 shots in those 15 minutes is a little bit concerning. And I also have some concerns about how she fits into what Coach Reeve is doing defensively. They're starting Sheppard and Collier in the front court and switching a lot of actions, and that's not Dorca's best coverage to me. She struggled in space defending players like Courtney Williams and Kalia Copper in this game. Gave up some wide open threes after just missing a rotation entirely, and just had some real rookie moments, especially on the defensive end in this game.
And then Morgan Burch for Chicago. She isn't the traditional rookie, but 25 years old, former third round draft pick. She is now with Chicago. Her role is going to be pretty increased from what we'd have expected in training camp without Isabel Harrison. What'd you see from her? Because I think in preseason we saw some flashes of this 6'4" post player that could defend in space a little bit, like Chicago likes to do, hedge out, that can also shoot a little bit. Can rim protect. So, what was your main takeaway from her first game?
Yeah, she didn't score the way she did in the preseason, but she was really important for them as a connective passer, a screener, and like someone who's really doing all the little things that this guy need in that starting lineup with Elizabeth Williams, with Courtney Williams, Mabry, and Copper. And I really liked her defensive activity in this game. She gets her hands out. She is really solid sliding with drivers and is really good in help positions too. I really, really liked her defensive activity in this game.
Chicago has a super fun front court, but I feel like it's going to be rough offensively at times whenever they're facing teams with more dominance in the front court. Because in this game, Minnesota's front court is also kind of lacking. Nafisa Collier is not the traditional post presence, more finesse based, more of a player that can play on the perimeter, handle a little bit, but. After the break, we'll move forward to the finale of the opening night. The Minnesota Lynx were followed up by the Los Angeles Sparks against the Phoenix Mercury. Okay. So in that finale, in the prime time late slot, way too late of a game. I'll say that first. 94 to 71, Los Angeles was shooting. Like, I didn't expect them to be this good of a shooting. I don't think they can sustain this shooting 40% on 22 threes. But Zaya Cook, in only 15 minutes, pretty remarkable efficiency. She had 14 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 5 of 6 shooting from the field, 2 of 2 from 3, 2 of 2 from the line. I thought a lot of the stuff we've seen at South Carolina. She was getting into her mid-range jumpers well. The funky finishes, the funky mid-range shots with her touch. But it was super encouraging in this game for Zaya to come out and really, really look like an NBA player. Because with some rookies, you'll say, okay, they come in, it's rough, but you need to give them time. But with Zaya, she looks comfortable and probably someone that Los Angeles should consider for that starting spot.
Yeah, Zaya just looked really comfortable out there. She's never been a player who's afraid of the moment, who is like blinded by the light. She to me, she looked really patient offensively, which is something that is something we were looking for from her coming into the WNBA, is to not rush into shots and to just take her time and find her little spots to get to. And she did a really good job of that. She hit two catch and shoot threes, and she attacked a couple closeouts and got to the free throw line area, which is a spot where she really likes to pull up from. And she just looked really solid offensively.
And with Zaya in this game, I thought like those two catch and shoot jumpers, she was confident early. Like she scored,
Absolutely.
I believe she scored like 7 points in the first minute, maybe. It was pretty remarkable for her. But she also, I believe she went down with an injury, but she came back in this game. So she only played 15 minutes, but overall, I think we should expect like an increase moving forward. But then also, I know you want to touch on some other players from this game that also made the WNBA debut.
Yeah, also in this game was Liz Dixon, a backup big for The Mercury and Kati Sissoko, they both made their debuts in this one. Liz Dixon played 4 minutes mostly in the second half and didn't record any stats. But Kati Sissoko, she scored 2 points and she had 2 rebounds. And I think she had some really interesting defensive flashes. She's tall and she moves really well. She has the ability to shoot a little bit. She didn't really shoot in this game, but I thought that her defensive activity was something that was really interesting in this game. Flying around the court, she moves really well. And that defense was one of the few bright spots besides Brittany Griner for the Mercury in this one.
And with Sissoko, I'm always for bigs with the size, the length, the movement abilities. So I believe, yeah, that was a really good selection for Phoenix in the third round. I think she has the upside. We'll see if she stays with the team the entire season, but I believe keeping someone like that with the raw offensive upside of becoming a rotation piece down the line could be valuable for Phoenix just because their young core is lacking right now. They haven't really invested a lot into draft, into the draft. So for Phoenix, having someone like that, having someone, in addition, we saw Avina Westbrook make her debut. It was rough, 0 for 5 from the field, 0 for 2 from 3 points. Yeah, I think for Phoenix, having someone like that on their bench is really valuable for them.
Yeah. And then there were three other players that made their WNBA debuts last night that we didn't touch on already. Leah Brown for the Connecticut Sun. She was pretty active defensively. She had an offensive rebound and she had a really nice assist in just 3 minutes played. Victoria Saxon for the Indiana Fever. She only played 1 minute. Her activity was there. She was flying around the court, but she picked up 2 quick fouls and Coach Christy Sides took her out of the game really quick. And then one debut in the Liberty versus the Mystics, and it was Lee Meng making her debut, just playing the last 51 seconds for the Mystics there. She didn't record any stats, but it's awesome to see these players making their debuts.
Yeah, so thanks to my Locked On Women's Basketball, your first listen today. I'll make your second listen game-to-game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result. Locked On game-to-game covers every game across the NBA with local analysis and only Locked On can deliver. Follow game-to-game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts.